Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hey everyone, Pastor Kevin Radlin here. Just wanted to take a moment and let you know that every Friday we're going to give you a piece of the sermon from our Sunday service so that you can enjoy and see what we're doing here at Lighthouse Christian Church every week. So I hope you enjoy this and that it ministers to you today. Be blessed in the name of Jesus.
So we're going to talk about mission generosity today. Go with me in your Bibles to Malachi chapter 4. Verses 5 and 6, Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. I'm sure you guys are familiar with this scripture. I'm sorry, Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Malachi chapter 3, 10 through 12. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I stand as the pen of a ready writer. I ask that you would work through me, communicate the truth in your word, and that as we seek you, we would just be the people of God you want us to be in all things, in Jesus' name, amen. I failed to mention another honored guest. We have my good friends Stu and Valerie Prigge. He's a retired Chief Master Sergeant in the Air Force, and they knew us before we had kids. So the rare group of people have known us before we had kids. And I married them 37 years ago. Yeah, married them 37 years ago. And I had one more little Father's Day story to tell you with my daughter, Nikki. Her brakes went out on her car and she dropped it off. And it's a really funny story. And while it was going on, she was videotaping it. And I thought, what a great thing we could do for Father's Day. We could show that videotape. And then I thought, there's probably some choice words in there that may not be appropriate for church. So we won't do that. But you have to ask her. It's a funny story. But when someone, right, Mama Bear, someone touches your kids, you get up on your hind legs. Isn't that right? Same thing with Daddy Bear. You touch my kids, you're in trouble. Okay? So anyway, so let's go back to... All right, so she should tell the story. All right, come on, Nick. So her brakes went out. She drove into a garage. They put the car up on the lift, and they were going to charge her this exorbitant amount of money, and they were not letting her bring her car home. They were holding her car hostage. Up on the lift, off the ground, and they wouldn't let her go home. And so she calls me, Dad, I don't know what to do. I said, I'll be right there. And so I go there, I'm talking to the guy, and he said, well, we're going to call the police. Call the police. I don't care. You're not holding my daughter's car hostage. We're taking this car home no matter what. No, you can't do it. We're not letting you do it. And so on and so forth. She's videotaping the whole thing. Unbeknownst to them, I used to work in a garage. So I kicked out the stops, threw the hydraulic lever over, lowered that car down, got the tire on it, and drove home, right? And that's what you got to do when you're a dad, isn't that right? You just step in, you do whatever you do, okay? All right, so, yeah, right? All right, so we're talking about generosity today. Debbie and I got saved about 40 years ago. We've been married 42 years ago, we got saved, and we were just givers and have been giving for most of our lives. It just came natural to us. We had a good brother in the Lord that taught us about giving, taught us about tithing, and we just enjoyed the benefits of that, enjoyed the fruits of that. And I could talk to you about the favor of God, and we're going to, I think, have another slide. It's in, let me see. I fumbled the first service. I said I wasn't going to do that this service. Let's see. Is it up there? Nope. Okay, Proverbs 84, 10 through 12. Love this scripture. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord is a sun and shield, and the Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Just love the favor of God. Tammy mentioned it in the earth before even she knew I was going to preach on this. It's better than the winning lottery ticket numbers, isn't it? The favor of God is all-encompassing every area of your life. You probably have favor in areas you don't even know you have favor in. God is just an amazing, almost tangible property that you can have in your life. It's just amazing. I'd rather have that than the winning lottery ticket. I'd rather have that than most anything else. Rather than kind of preach and lecture because I'm more of a teacher, I just want to share some examples from our giving journey and maybe encourage you a little bit in your giving journey as well. So we were young Christians. I got out of the service. Debbie was pregnant with our first son, Christopher, and she went into labor. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning. And she woke me up finally, said, we need to get to the hospital. And we got into the car. We didn't have enough gas to get to the hospital. Now, imagine that. Really, we didn't have enough gas, nor did we have money. We were young, in our 20s. We didn't have credit cards. We didn't have gas to get to the hospital. She's in labor. We didn't have money. She found $3 that she was holding onto for a friend. And even though we didn't want to, we used the $3 because, you know, we had to. We thought we'd pay it back. And integrity is important, isn't it, right? Even if it's $3, integrity is important. So we got to the hospital. She's in a room going through labor. There's another person in the room as well with pre-labor contractions. And I think it was her mom. And we could hear them praying. And Debbie whispers over to me and says, I think they're Christians, because she's quoting scripture verses and so on. Well, Debbie finishes, goes into labor, takes us out of the room, has our son Christopher, our firstborn. A couple hours later, comes back. The nurse says the other couple that was in there left a note in your purse. They wanted to leave your name and address, their name and address, so to hear how the baby went. So Debbie looks in her purse, opens up the envelope. There wasn't their name, address, or phone number, but was the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And guess what? $3. That's the favor of God. I'll tell you another story. We were living behind the 4th Street Church. Some of my kids probably haven't even heard these stories. We were living behind the 4th Street Church. Pastor Kim, do you remember that? The old 4th Street? Yeah. So we were living behind the 4th Street Church, and it was a shack. I mean, really, it was a hot box, one little window unit air conditioner. It was so expensive to run, we barely ran it. It was that expensive, and we just sweated all the time. Took cold showers. We'll talk about that in a minute. But you could look through the radiator vent and see the ground underneath the thing. The walls didn't hook up. You could look through the cracks in the walls and look into the next room. I didn't show this in the first service. At one time, I came home from work, and the city of Cocoa Beach had condemned it. They had tape, honest to God, across the front door with a big red sign, do not enter the building. It was condemned, right? You know? And then the shower was literally the back door of the house that they had poured 4 inches of concrete on the floor, put a drain in, and caulked the door casing so that water wouldn't go out the door. Literally, you're in the shower. We took a lot of cold showers because it was hot. You're in the shower, and literally the door handle's right there. You could just open the door. Well, we took so many cold showers, we must have just did something to the caulk or something. We bumped it, and the door opens up. And there's our neighbors cutting the grass, you know? And the way the door opened all the way out. So now you're reaching around trying to get that door back closed, you know? But that's how we live, right? Everyone kind of has a starving artist story, right? You all have one, don't you? Right? So you know where we're coming from. Young, stupid, zealous for God, living in, taking showers with the back door open. So we needed, a cold front came through. We had enough money to buy a heater because we had our baby who was going to be cold if we didn't. And then, but we had also made a commitment to take a couple out to dinner. And we were weighing the options, and the scripture says it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and break it. And integrity is important, even with $3, right? So we took them out to dinner, had a wonderful dinner, fellowship. Someone got back to the same house I told you about, and on the front door in a box was, what do you think? A heater. That's the favor of God. We didn't tell anybody that we needed a heater. How amazing is that? God knows what you need even before you need it. While Abraham and Isaac were going up one side of the mountain, the ram was going up the other side. God knows what you need even before you need it. And God blessed us, just tremendously blessed us. And I could tell, and I know you have 100 stories that you could tell. And we have, for everyone I'm telling you, there's probably another 200 more to tell. I'll tell one more, then we'll move on. We were in a church revival service, and the gentleman was talking about back tithe. Anyone ever hear a sermon on back tithing? There's a scripture in the Old Testament that if you miss your tithe, add 5% to it or something. It's out of Deuteronomy. It was a really good message. So we're ending, he's closing the message and asking everyone to pray, you know, how much they should give and so on. And God spoke to my heart and said, you should give like $1,000. And I started crying a little bit because really that was our rent money. How are we going to make rent for that month? And we had a number of bills that added up to maybe like $10,000, some credit card stuff at that time, and our rent and some other things. And one of the other things that we owed was when I got out of the service, they overpaid me for my leave, and I owed $124 back to the government. Well, it could have been $1,024. It didn't matter. If you don't have it, you don't have it. You know what I'm saying? It's just tough. So we were young, poor, but God blessed us, and those were really good times, weren't they? Man, if we could go back, man, it was just good times. Man, you learn to trust God. You just have to trust God because you don't have a credit card. You know what I mean? You don't have nothing else. You just have to trust God. So lean over to Debbie. How much do you think we should give? She says $50. And I'm thinking, oh, God, this isn't going to fly. You know, I'm up, God's up here, and my wife's here, and I'm thinking, oh, my Lent, I don't know how, you know. So I said, you're going to have to talk to her, too. And she says, well, how much do you think? So I told her, and then, of course, the same, how are we going to pay rent? How are we going to get food, you know? So in obedience, we gave that amount. And no sooner did that amount hit the offering plate, and God spoke to me, he goes, there's all your bills paid. A week later, true story, I probably still have the letter. I'm not making this up. A week later, I get a letter from the Internal Revenue Service. It had three lines in it, and basically it said, Mr. Maffeo, it is not in the interest of the IRS to collect that money right now. The IRS, come on. God spoke to the IRS. You don't have to pay $124 back to us. Who does that? Who can do it? That's right. How many of you have ever been on the phone with the IRS for 4 hours before you got through? There we go. All right? But God, I don't know how it happened, but we got the letter, didn't have to pay back the $124. So not only were Debbie and I givers, generous, living a life, tithing, very grateful for the brother that taught us about giving and about tithing. We tend to stay away from those subjects because, you know, they're hot points. You know what I mean? They've got a negative stigma to it, and probably rightly deserved in some areas, some fields. I think we really do the people of God a disservice when we don't talk about it. When we don't talk about how great it is to give, how great it is to be so generous. I believe in tipping, but I believe in over-tipping. I want a legacy card from Longhorn. Yeah. I'm serious. I want a legacy card. I just love it. And it emanates out of us. And we tithed as a church. We had a small church in Cocoa Beach. We tithed. We gave out of the, gave money out of the tithes and offerings that came in. Our church tithed just like Lighthouse Christian does. And I'm happy to be a part of. And for years, we would set up and tear down in a schoolroom. For years, we would rent a building out. We were in the 4th Street Church. We were at the 7th Freedom 7 School for years and years and years. Finally, a building came up for sale. It was an old Church of Christ at the south end of Cocoa Beach. And a theatrical group had bought it. They had painted the pulpit black. They had painted the floors black and had all production lights and stuff like that. They threw the baptism out the back. We put the baptism back in. Some of my kids were baptized in it, right? And it was up for sale for $500,000 back in the late 80s. That's a lot of money. Pastor Kevin has a vision for $10 million, a $9 million building and $1 million in renovations. And that's a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money to God, right? It's not. It's just not. So this building was $500,000, and we really wanted it. We were praying about it. The price dropped down to $450,000. Then it dropped down to $400,000. And we did all the crazy young Christian things. We walked around the building 7 times. You know, we had our tambourines, yeah, anointed it with oil. We'd go over and pray. People in the congregation would go by and pray, and they'd say, Fred, we're praying. We went by there today all by ourselves, and we prayed over the building. It got down to $350,000. And then when it finally got down to $330,000, we wrote up a contract. We put an offer in. And on the way to get that offer signed, I lost the piece, and we said, we're just not going to do it. So we backed out. It went into foreclosure maybe 6 months to a year after that. It went up for sale. The bank owned it. I think they wanted $250,000. And we're still praying, still wanting it. And then we said, well, let's offer them $180,000. You know, because I always like the God factor. You get a number in your head, reduce it, because then if it's God, then it's going to go through, right? So in the meantime, while it was for $500,000, we were saving money as a church. So we had $40,000. The bank accepted $180,000. We put $40,000 down. We financed $140,000. And guess who financed it? Teen Missions. Teen Missions had a program where they would finance church building projects. And all the interest from that loan would go towards missions. So we got the money from Teen Missions. The interest was going to missions. Our mortgage payment was going to missions. It was just wonderful. Now, who does that? God does. Now, I didn't share this in the first service. I was so nervous, I forgot. But I've always wanted to do a sermon on, and you can steal it from me, Pastor, Snow White and the 7 Kinds of Church People. It's good, huh? You, Pastor Kevin will do it. It'll be really funny. You know, you have Sneezy, the church member that just has no filter, just whatever they think that comes out, right? You have Dopey. You have Sleepy, right? Then you have Grumpy, right? And we had a Grumpy. We had a Grumpy, right? And used to sit like right over here and scowl at me every service. Just grumpy. But I will never forget the day when I walked in the church with the keys in my hand. And I was reminded of the scripture that Jesus, when he died on the cross, took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he had the keys. And I walked in and I showed Mr. Grumpy, I got the keys. God is able to take a building that's $500,000 down and only have to put $140,000, finance $140,000. And the pastor had it up for sale about a year ago for $2.3 million. Well, that's better than Bitcoin. Right? It's better than Bitcoin. But that's God. That's what God can do. I'll tell you one more story. We had a bus. We're young, right? Zealous. Don't even know what we bought the bus for. I don't know. We had grandiose ideas, right? You get those. Like, I don't know. We're going to buy kids. We're going to take it to the beach. I don't know. But we bought this big yellow bus. We painted it white. And then we put a spirit symbol on it, like a dove. And we called it the Spirit, you know. And we had it for a while. And Cocoa Beach had an annual parade, like a Christmas parade. We entered, and the idea was after church, all of us would get in the bus, I would drive it, we'd have all our guitars, our tambourines, you had to have tambourines back then, right? Tambourines, and our guitars, and singing, and we're singing, and the church, you know, the ladies are singing, the men are singing, the kids are there, and we're in the parade, we have the windows down, and we're yelling out, you know, thanks to people driving by, and we get about 20, 30 feet from the judge's thing, stand, and the mayor's there. Chief of police is there, the fire chief's there, some other city officials are there, and the bus breaks down. But we're still singing, still clapping our tambourines, and I'm trying to get the thing started, you know, trying to turn the key over, hitting the gas, trying to get that thing started. Finally, we're holding up the parade. Finally, the men get out and push the bus past the judges' stand, you know. We're pushing that big white bus past the judge's stand and over into an empty parking lot. And we go back the next day or two and get it working. Well, that was on a Saturday. On Monday, I get to work, and there's a package in front of my door, my office door. I open it up, and it's the plaque from the parade. We won Best in Show. True story? True story. Pushing it past the judge's stand. But that's the favor of God. That's God working on your behalf. And when you're generous, it just opens up that door. Go back to Malachi. And what does it say? Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I remember driving our 15-passenger van, because we had 9 kids, you have to have a 15-passenger van, and coming back from a long trip and pulling in the driveway, and no sooner did I turn the key off and put it in park, the front tire went and all the air came out. And you think, well, how's that the blessing of God? Think about that. If I was on 95 doing 55, with 9 children, and the front tire pops or blows, what could have happened? That's the blessing of God. It happened in my driveway. I didn't even have to get a tow. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just so many other, and you have those stories. And you know that it's because you're generous, and because you give, and you open up those doors that allow God to bless you back. And really, I think this is the only place in the scriptures where it says, God says, prove me, test me now in this. See if I don't do this. It's an impossibility. Is mission accomplished? Mission generosity? It's almost mission impossible to outgive God. You can't do it. You can't outgive God. He just pours a blessing out on you. Well, I said I was going to share our story. And just like, you know, you, life happens, right? So, we were givers, tithers. I preached it. I lived it. I practiced it. I encouraged others to do so. Really, just that was part of who we were. And then, you know, life happens. And I wish I could say that we gave all the way through all the hard times. You know, but have you ever been so hurt, so disappointed, so grieving that all you can feel and see is that hurt, that grief, and our eyes really came off of God? And we had to close our family business of 18 years. We had to change careers. We moved. And then we had a family tragedy, the kind of tragedy that just rocks your faith, just challenges you to your core. And
hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry, Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time in worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the Fellowship Hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.